to hymn 743.
My business lies at Jesus' gate, where many a laser comes, and here I sue and here I wait for mercy's falling crumbs. 743.
Thank you. Let us read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto thee, unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Rise, let us go hence. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant prayer. Thou in whom we live, we move, and have our being, in whose hands are those brittle threads of our lives. We lie before thee in all our need. We cannot claim any help upon the ground of merit, but we beg upon the ground of mercy, mercy through blood, we make our plea, O God, be merciful to me. We pray that outpouring of thy Holy Spirit the blessed Comforter, would join with the hymn writer. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God, who make to us salvation known and witness with the blood. No man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord until thou take the veil away and breathe the living word. O Lord, we come before thee, we venture, we would plead those merits of Jesus Christ, his righteousness, his sin atoning blood, sure ground. Oh, may faith be an exercise, even a lively exercise. May we be made nigh by the blood of Christ and worship this day in spirit and in truth. We would not be left to mere formality, nor would we rest in tradition. O Lord, our desire is before thee, our groanings are not hid from thee. We pray for that portion, for our never dying souls. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Lord, may thy word be heard this day, and may we be found upon that stretch, waiting, watching for thine appearing. Lord, let not any slothfulness be found. May we be found graciously exercised. Say unto our souls, I am thy salvation. Come thou over those mountains of Bether. Be thou as that young roe or hart. Come quickly, Lord. The lines of the hymn writer, sung even at this morning hour, suit us well. We are but poor beggars. But Lord, thou hast provided afore. There have been those handfuls of purpose. There has been that provision in thy courts. There has been that help given in thee turning to thy word. And we would look again upon that same ground of mercy and plead, oh, that it might be even a day of the Son of Man here upon earth. A day of rich blessing in Zion. Lord, amongst us here, with the little flock at home, that thy dear servant ministers the word, we hope. And throughout Christendom, where'er thy truth is faithfully proclaimed. Lord, in this land and in other lands, we pray, oh, that thy word may go forth with that power, there shall not return unto thee void. Where there is that preventing through various matters of attending the means of grace, and some, Lord, have not those means available, Lord, we pray that even to such thou wouldst draw nigh and comfort their heart. Thou knowest our frame. Thou rememberest that we are but dust. O Lord, we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as in heaven. We pray thy blessing upon this corner of thy vineyard. Thank thee, O Lord, for those that gather in thy name, for young friends and little ones, for those in the midst of life, and elderly friends. O Lord, we do ask that thy word may prove seasonable, meeting those needs, cases may they be met. Oh, it is our desire, Lord, that thou shalt have all the honour and all the glory. Our lot is cast in evil days. Few seek Zion's solemn feasts. There's much departing, much lightness. O Lord, we grieve that such is the case. Much wandering, much backsliding, and many have thrown off those restraints and gather no more amongst those that fear thy name. O Lord, an evil abounds in our present day throughout the world. Sin runs down our streets like torrents. We do pray for our young people. Lord, where those stands have to be made, we do pray for that courage to be given. Oh, that that cometh from thyself, as so distinct from that which is of the flesh. Oh, Lord, we pray that they and we may be kept faithful even unto death. Lord, if Peter denied thee, he blasphemed. We are no better. O Lord, we pray thou wouldst uphold us. Uphold our goings in thy path, that our footsteps slip not. May each show forth whose they are and whom they serve. Protect those amongst ungodly companions and that of necessity in their school lives. O Lord, as they practice those evils and speak, also often those abominations, O Lord, do grant unto the dear ones that tenderness of spirit. May they remember that they hear in thy courts, and that influence of the Christian home. O Lord, we pray that thou wouldst preserve them in this evil day. Those in further education, Lord, oh, what need there is amongst those gross evils that are practiced and condoned. Lord, keep, oh, keep, we beseech thee. Help parents in the upbringing of their dear children. Do thou, in mercy, Lord, give them the grace to know when to say yea and when to say nay. Lord, what wisdom is needful. So help, we pray. Remember those, Lord, battling conflict in their providential concerns, in their daily calling. Oh, what need there is, Lord, for grace and more grace. Impart it, Lord, we beseech thee. Lord, remember those that hold office here, and one away in that far country. Bless him where he gathers this day, thy dear servant there who minister the word. We pray, O Lord, for one at the desk that needed help might again be afforded him as he labours for thy glory. And we pray over that unity of the Spirit amongst church and congregation, and that upholding one another's hands in that tenderness of fear and love. We pray, Lord, that needed strength to be given, and wilt thou, prevent the little foxes spoiling the tender vines. Remember our churches. Lord, we groan as we behold that which abides in many quarters. Do thou appear, Lord. Do thou appear. Bless thy servants and those laid aside. Remember each and further thy work. Grant peace, godly peace, Lord, which is not of man's making. We pray, Lord, for the tenderness of spirit. We pray for that humility of spirit. We pray, Lord, that we each may be found in that posture. I'm amongst you as one that serveth. Hear prayer for this guilty land and nation. Lord, at this particular juncture, thou seest our need. Lord, what can we say? The days were evil when Noah was upon the face of the earth, when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed in the days of Lot. And, Lord, we're no better now. Indeed, we're sunk in such sin. Such shame. Once a nation honoured amongst those of the world. Now, the prime activator of evil. Lord, wilt thou turn yet that tide of iniquity? Must we bow under thy wrath? And as many nations before, because of those evils condoned and practiced, be brought to nothing. Lord, whate'er thy will, may we be found safe under our Redeemer's wing. And now, Lord, do help us. What aid we need. We plead for it upon the ground of mercy. Do give that clarity of thought, that clearness of expression. But above all, thy Holy Spirit's leading. We beg for the forgiveness of our every sin. Wash us, make us clean. Accept our tribute of thanks for all thy mercies. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake.
Hymn 509. Come, my soul, with boldness come unto the throne of grace. There Jesus sits to answer prayer and shows a smiling face. 509.
Thank you.
in dependence upon the Lord. We venture to the words you'll find in John from chapter 14, reading verse 19. John chapter 14, verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. It's more particularly the last part that hath been laid for my spirit to bring before you, because I live, ye shall live also. The Lord Jesus, before he went to Gethsemane and Calvary, did speak as concerning the safety of those dear disciples. He spake to them of a heaven prepared for the suffering saints of God. And further, of the Holy Spirit, the divine comforter that should come. Also, that he himself, in returned to glory, would not be forgetful of them. But we read, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. It concerned the disciples. The question was raised, how is it that thou wouldst manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Still, there was that which so perplexed them, concerned them. They could not understand. We have to refer to Scripture. We walk by faith and not by sight. Given that God-given confidence that what we see not, that the Lord shall reveal unto us, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. Yet a little while, the world shall see me no more. He spake now to them more clearly perhaps than before as concerning his impending departure. the world, they shall see me no more, but ye shall see me. He spake of his resurrection. He spake as concerning that time when he should reveal himself during those 40 days to the dear women, the disciples, yea, and Peter, and Thomas, who had said he would not believe. The world shall not see me. No more shall they behold me with the mortal eye, but ye shall see me. Ye shall see me. Oh, this was their favoured lot. And last of all, saith the apostle, he was seen of me as one born out of due time, not worthy to be called an apostle, because he had persecuted the church of God. Free grace, sovereign grace, mercy, delightful thee. Oh, it is the very essence of the gospel. And it warms the hearts of believers as they are favored amidst their many sins to trace out the goodness of God. Did not one say, the psalmist of old, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Yet a little while, he speaks to his disciples. Perhaps we might for a few moments consider the circumstances. The condition in which the disciples found themselves. And in considering this, oh, trace more of the loving kindness of the Lord in encouraging them. I view these words as a word of reassurance to fearful disciples, clearly revealing, though they may seek life in themselves, the truth, oh, the truth is found here. From me is thy fruit found. It's because, on this account, because I live, that ye shall live also. It hath its reference. Maybe we may come to it, the Lord knoweth, as concerning the resurrection from the dead. But I venture, oh, as this word lays upon one spirit, to speak firstly, at least, in this respect. Oh, it is a reassuring word to one enveloped in darkness, who feels the deadness of their own soul, and can say with an hymn writer, hardly sure can they be worse, who have never heard his name. Now hearken unto that whisper of his grace, because I live, ye shall live also. The Lord Jesus Christ had come up from Bethany. that last time that he should journey from Galilee into that little city of Bethany. And now before him lie the Passover and he knew that this was the time, that appointed time from all eternity, when he should be offered a sacrifice acceptable for his people. The chief priests, the elders, they were incensed at his reception by the multitude as he entered Jerusalem. And they determined in themselves, they convened the meeting as it were, they determined in themselves they'd be rid of this man. And yet, as they deliberated, sought that way that these things might be undertaken, we are given to understand, they said, not at the present time, not during the Passover season. There's multitudes, they follow him. It would not be a right and proper course to attain their infernal end. But we come again to that truth as recorded in the Proverbs. A man's heart divideth his way. The Lord directeth his steps. He overruled those deliberations. A Judas betrayed him. And that which was determined in the counsels of Jehovah was accomplished. Christ should be offered. Yea, the Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb. That he should be sacrificed at Jerusalem. And this was the time. It fast approached. We read of how they supped together. We read, oh, the solemnity, the sacredness. The Lord Jesus Christ, he spake unto them tenderly. In speaking unto them, it was revealed that one amongst them should betray him. We hear of the concern of those disciples. Is it I? Is it I? Oh, friends, far rather, hear that cry. That tenderness of spirit from those, feeling and realizing their own weakness, and the brash ways of religious bigots today. Is it I? Is it I? John inquired. The Lord Jesus Christ gave that sign. It was revealed as concerning Judas that had the bag. And we read how that he went out. Satan entered into him. He went out. It said the Lord Jesus Christ unto him, what thou doest, do thou quickly. Purposes of God were ripening fast. Oh, there was many a bigot there in that company of the elders and high priest. There was many such that determined to destroy him. But Jesus knew. Oh, friends, this is the background of these loving words. I cannot see them as otherwise. These reassuring words to these sorrowing disciples, as it dawned unto them more so that he was about to leave them. And Jesus himself knew that Peter would deny him, that the one that he'd laid upon his bosom, they all should forsake him and flee. Friends, Jesus spake, Judas having departed from them. He spake yet for a little season ere they rose and commenced that moonlight walk to the Garden of Gethsemane. He spake to them. He would assure them of his work, the work of salvation, is going before them to prepare those mansions. He would reassure them that they were not forgotten of him. He would tell them, yea, he would make it clear unto them that they should live and live eternally. You see somewhat then, oh sacred scene, doth it not open up unto the eye? A most sacred, solemn scene, a moving spectacle. The Lord Jesus Christ. We might say his dying testimony, his words, and these words of they that are nigh unto death carry such weight. Gather around thy bed. Oh, with what weight and with what earnestness are those words spoken, hearkened unto. See it here. The Lord Jesus Christ, ere he went to Gethsemane, he gathered these disciples, he spake to them. Blessed words, comforting words. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. I would from this, as the Lord may help me, draw, as it were, that picture. Make known how that the Lord, ever merciful, ever compassionate, tender, loving, doth attend unto those that are walking in that path of darkness, soul distress, very anxious, greatly burdened, fearing the very life of God is not found within, the root of the matter not there. Oh, you say, believers here, believers here, they that minister the word, preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, they walking in these paths of darkness, can it be, who is among you? I ask the question. A company before me and before the Lord. Who is among you that feareth the Lord that obeyeth the voice of his servant and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, hearken unto this reassuring word, because I live. That cannot be doubted. Christ hath revealed himself to those disciples ere he ascended into glory, and said, the Old Testament saint, I know that my Redeemer liveth, because I live. Peter, he came thus before his Lord. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I venture to suggest it is in this way we so learn Christ. It is not as a schoolboy learns his tasks. It is not as we may study, though right in his place, and search. It is through vital experience of the truth. Dry doctrine, it cannot save us. True religion, one saith, 'tis more than notion. Something must be known and felt. We do not trust for salvation in our feelings, in our frames, God forbid. But without them, oh friend, what evidence is there of life? The dead, they know nothing. We would contend, and contend earnestly for a revealed religion. Our heart goes out to our young friends. We often think, in this context, of Nicodemus. And what did he say? How can these things be? How can these things be? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Ye must be born again. And why, oh, why is it so repeated? Because ye must be born again. We're speaking here of eternal life. Born of the Spirit. A new heart, a new spirit will I give unto you. It is all of grace. Ye see me because I live. Ye shall live also. It lays upon one's spirit in this way. It is on this account that any have any hope of any liveliness in spiritual things, any hope in the mercy of God. Now Christ liveth, men may deny it, and do. Oh, we hear of that spoken against him. A man, but a man. A good man, a prophet, one that went about doing good. Oh, friend, what dost thou see in him? What think ye of Christ, the eternal Son of God? He came to be a man and die.
Great those mysteries of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. His sufferings. His death. Upon Calvary's tree. Well, that was that which was determined. Wicked hands indeed did perpetrate that evil. But they were but pawns in the hands of God, furthering those purposes of grace. Christ stood in the sinner's room, place, and stead. He suffered for the sins of his people. But having paid that penalty price, his own heart's blood, the grave could not hold him. He rose an empty tomb. No doubt your thoughts were directed of late to the sepulchre. An empty tomb. Who shall roll us away the stone? The difficulties lay in the way of those dear women. But Christ rose. He was seen. He was seen of these. He lives. Friends, he lives. He ascended up into glory. And now at the Father's right hand, what does Scripture say? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, may we then be able to proclaim this great and glorious truth, the very foundation of our profession. Christ liveth, the Father's eternal Son, who, having redeemed his people, hath returned to glory, and is now at the Father's right hand, interceding on their behalf. I live. I live. One speaks of old, of good news from a far country. How cheering to hear for those afar off to know of their safety, to know of their well-being. The Lord Jesus Christ in his rich mercy doth communicate. He ever liveth. He doth communicate with the saints of God. They do hear his voice. They do receive at his hand. Because I live, ye shall live also. Now I speak to such an one. I know not among you who are found even this morning very low in spirit, burdened with your sins. Can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine? So great those transgressions. So wretched that nature. Who shall deliver me, said the apostle, from this body of death? Groaning under those infirmities, those sinful infirmities. Friends, one thing we can say, oh, may it be for your comfort, the dead know nothing. May the word reach your heart, the dead know nothing. There's life here. It may be
but a feeble cry. But we read as concerning Saul of Tarsus, and that to the amazement of those that stood on, and to the astonishment of the one concerned, behold, he prieth. The feeble cry, the sign of life. I live, ye shall live also. Christ shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. We read as concerning afflictions. By these things men live. This is the life we're speaking of. By these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. The head liveth, return to glory. Can it be that the body be dead? It cannot be. Friends, oh, lay it to heart. Seek grace to comprehend the wondrous depth of truth that couches here. Christ is returned, the ever-living Christ. Oh, can the body be dead? And it cannot be. I'll go a step further, as the Lord may help me. Cut off the supply of blood. Life is extinguished. Without that flow, that constant flow, 'tis death. 'Tis death. Friends, that fountain ever opened. That fountain opened at Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ. Precious blood. Sin atoning blood. There's life there. And this, a burdened sinner, is brought thus to draw from Christ. The living head, they live upon him. They depend upon him. His righteousness and his shed blood is their constant plea in all their weakness, in all their poverty, in all their sin. The precious blood of Jesus Christ under the old covenant. Moses was bidden to shed that blood. That covenant was laid upon works. And we read that covenant they break. They break. Sin overcame them. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Death. Eternal death. Oh, friend, lay it to heart. Oh, that we could more. So often I fear we're complacent, not concerned. The truth remains, the soul that sinneth, it shall die under this condemnation. Those whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life are brought to see those great abominations in their own hearts. Friends, there are three parts, are there not? Scripture
attest to it. The first part, oh, the wicked, the world. They've no knowledge of these things. They've no desire for them. There's no life in them. No concern for spiritual blessings. They despise the Sabbath. They despise the Lord of the Sabbath. Evidence we have of this, in this, our day. There's no life, there's no understanding, they see not, they know not. The natural man hath no understanding of spiritual things, cannot enter into them. The first part. There's another part. Oh, there's much fleshly zeal around today. It abounds. It permeates through Christian churches, and our denomination is not free from it. Oh, I sadly confess it. Nor are our hearts free from this evil. Such think they have life. They may even make those confessions according to the tenor of Scripture, and yet the Lord seeth the heart, and he knoweth, and he will try those reins. Oh, do you find this in your heart, friend? Are you amongst that third part? Search me, O God. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I say there's much religion around still in this godless age. There's much presumption. There's a multitude of those that are complacent. How few there are who feel themselves as nothing, even worse than nothing. Oh, it is the Spirit that teaches such, is from me, is thy fruit found. That life is hid with Christ in God. Said the apostle, I die daily. Die daily. Die for all that is of this world. But friends, you may feel, oh, can you enter that? You find yourself so encumbered. These things cast you down. There's a right place. Oh, there's a proper place to attend unto those things, the necessities of life. But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Seek after Christ. Seek after his righteousness. That pearl of great price. And how doth the Lord bring such? Oh, not as man may conceive, not as they may devise the way. The plan of salvation to them is to work out that salvation in their own strength, but not so God's way. He bringeth them down into the dust. He bringeth them down into nothingness. He causeth them to reel to and fro in like a drunken man. Why is that? That they might draw their strength from him. And says, my all is bound up in the Lamb. They draw from him, dependent upon him, for every good. In themselves, that is in their flesh, they can do no good thing. Paul's complaint is the complaint of this third part, but is theirs to be reassured. Such a word to those that are sufficient unto themselves brings no comfort. But such as they feel so destitute, so far off, so wretched, so undone. This word, oh, I can vouch for it. It brings comfort. It raises hope. It lifts one up out of despondency. There's that setting the feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. It's because I live, saith he. How soft the word, my words, my Saviour speaks. How kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he will not break, nor break the smoking flax. Because, oh, hearken unto the gentle whisper of his reassuring word. See the scene again. Disciples troubled. They could not comprehend. Enough had been shown them to cause them to sorrow. But though ye now therefore have sorrow, saith our Lord, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I live. The head of the church, the mighty conqueror. The prophet speaks of one coming up from Edom, from Bosra, his garments dyed in blood. His own arm brought salvation. A mighty conqueror. A living Christ. Amongst all the sects of different religions, there is none other that hath for its core a once crucified, now risen Christ. Can you avouch? Oh, you heard the whispers of his love. He spoke unto your soul. Oh, I speak simply. I speak feebly. I know. But oh, I would attest. His still small voice. His grace. Oh, the tenderness of his words. Apples of gold in pictures of silver. A seasonal word. Oh, when one is ready to give up. Tempted so of Satan, call no more on Jesus' name. To whom else can we go? Oh, Peter strikes that chord, does he not? You find it in your heart. Can you lie down? If no mercy, did you not sing in effect? If no mercy, I must lie me down. And friends, there is mercy. The blood, oh, that blood of Christ still flows. The fountain opened. There's life in that blood. Because I live, ye shall live also. Zion is called upon to live that life of dependence upon him. To trust him, even when they cannot trace him. To say with Job, those far off days, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Think again of the Lord Jesus here. Oh, we would preach Christ and him crucified, now risen. Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, as it were in that approaching Gethsemane. Judas betrayed him. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. They all forsook him and fled. Painful pulse. The Lord Jesus Christ went those steps further. The sign is called upon in that little measure. David had his Ahithophel. Others have had those. Does not the apostle speak of those that have deserted him, forsaken him? But I will never leave thee, saith the Lord. I will never leave thee. Because I live. Because I live, ye shall live also. He speaks. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord. He speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? To whom else canst thou go? He has the words of eternal life. Because he lives. What source of comfort? Foundation truths. Hope centered in one. Who, having accomplished that work, hath returned to glory. I repeat again the words, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £545, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Cornford next Lord's Day. And there will be no prayer meeting tomorrow evening. Hymn 1059. Jesus, the truth, the way, the sure unerring light, on thee my feeble soul I'd stay, which thou canst lead aright. 1059.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.